It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
Wendy, nobody knows. Nobody knows how difficult it is being green, like our next guest, Lou Ferrigno.
Hello,
who
sir.
Played Kermit the Frog on television for many years. Hello, Lou. How are you? Great to see you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
We're thrilled to meet you.
Thank you.
We really are. You have you've let yourself go, obviously.
I know.
That's sad.
I know. You know, when you let yourself go, you end up 243 pounds with 8% body fat, and you look like Lou Ferrigno.
We should all let ourselves go. Every one of us should let ourselves go. You look better now.
You do.
What are you doing? You're in perfect shape.
Consistency, working out, taking care of myself, and being passionate about it.
And you've just been named head of the fitness council from the president.
Congratulations. Yeah, I'm hoping to be selected. I know the cat's out of the bag. I'm hoping to be selected, though the choices are very good. The chances are very good.
I think you will be selected. I would put money down that somebody will select you for this. Lou is in town, of course, for Wizard World, the Comic-Con in Rosemont, which is running now through Sunday.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I've seen the lines of people, the throngs of people who want to meet you. It ranges. It's little kids. It's old people. It's people from all over the world.
Three different generations.
How about that?
It's fun because it's almost a span of like 41 years, and I enjoy it because they come to the table, chat with them, they take pictures. Also because it has a lot to do with my physicality.
Yeah.
They're not seeing the guy in the costume, so they see me a person. It's just... it radiates positive influence.
Sure.
Now, were you just a hero? Where was this? Someone had a seizure at one of the Comic-Cons. Where was
that? That was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
And you came to the rescue.
Well, a guy came to the table, the young guy. Apparently, he was leaning forward, trying to talk to me. And I said, why is he leaning too forward? And suddenly he started to have a seizure. Now, myself being a trained deputy sheriff, I'm a first responder. So I immediately made sure that the area was clear and he won't fall on the floor because I know it was a stroke. I know it was a heart attack. But the father was nearby. He said it was diabetes. He had a diabetic.
So I had to handle
that because sometimes when you deal with people like that in the state, you have to make sure you know the vital signs.
And he's okay?
Yeah.
And is telling everybody that the Hulk saved him?
Yeah.
What a story.
That's the best story. Lou, do me a favor. For years, you worked with a guy that I consider to be one of the most underrated actors in the history of television, Bill Bixby.
Yep.
Everything this guy was in, he was always great.
Oh, he was
including
great.
Including the Hulk. What was it like working with him?
It was great because I was a fan of his because of the TV series he's done. So I got a chance to work with him. And you know, when you're first in the business, I was like intimidated for the first day on the set.
Yeah.
I'm like staring at him. Oh my God, I don't know anything about acting. So then we got into slowly. When they put the makeup on, I learned about pantomime, that acting without speaking, everything fell into place.
Yeah. You know, people knew him mostly from comedies like My Favorite Martian or Courtship of Eddie's Father, but he proved he could do a lot more than just comedy. He was really good in the Hulk.
Oh, Bill was very funny. He was a wonderful director and a producer as well.
Yeah.
So you started in Pumping Iron. That's when you first got sort of an acting bug, and then The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
You know where I loved you? On King of Queens.
That was a great show.
Oh, my God. You did such a good job.
Thank you.
How'd you switch from working out and Mr. Universe and Mr. Whatever you've been, because it's been a lot of titles? How do you get into the acting bug then?
Well, it started with The Hulk, because since I've done The Hulk, I've done over 5 TV series and 40 films. But when I did The Hulk, after I finished doing the series, I ended up doing stage play, theater. As a matter of fact, I did a play here. Arsenic and Olay 30 years ago at the Drury Lane Theater.
Oh, my God.
Theater in the Round. And a lot of celebrities came down to watch me. Theater in the Round, you can't cheat.
Otherwise, you're right.
When you're acting on a stage, sometimes you could face the wall. But Theater in the Round, that is 360 degrees. So there's nothing you can cheat or hide. So that was a challenge. I had a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Lou, was there ever a time, because you're hearing impaired, was there ever a time as a kid where you said, I have a dream, there's things I want to achieve, but because of this, it's going to be more difficult? Did you ever miss out on anything because of this?
Well, I've had a lot of dreams, and you know, I had a very negative father.
Did
you? I had a negative environment, kept telling me, you can't. If you hear me, if, or the if. So I decided that I'm not going to, you know, listen to the negativity. I'm going to basically not take a second seat to anyone.
Good.
I keep hearing all the if. And then I decided to be a warrior, and then I wanted to conquer all my dreams because, you know, nothing is impossible. If you maximize what you have, be the best you can be. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why you could follow your dream.
Did he get to see what you achieved, your dad?
Yes, he did. But, you know, it was a love and hate relationship. And what's funny is that my father was the NYPD lieutenant. And 13 years ago, I became a deputy. Mm-hmm. I went through the academy. So basically, because, you know, being told when you're young, because in those days, they did the best they could. Mm-hmm. You could choose your friends, but you can't choose your parents. So the way I grew up back then, you know, dealing with the hearing issue, being the bully, it was a different time era. It wasn't like today. You have social media. You could reach out to someone. And my time was more like hidden. So more like isolated. So I had to fight. Virtually, and I was a different person back then.
Sure.
I had difficulty speaking, difficulty hearing, and I was able to change all that to maximize that.
Good.
Uh-huh. So you were bullied?
Yes.
And now, God.
How big were those guys who bullied you? They must have been
I would say not much bigger when I was young growing up. A lot of times I would just get beat up a lot.
Really?
Uh-huh.
He didn't look like this coming out of the womb, Bill.
I guess not.
But is that where you turned to weightlifting and getting in shape because of that?
Definitely. That led me to bodybuilding and fitness because I wanted to be strong and protect myself. Because back then, you know, I'm talking about like the early 60s, weight training wasn't popular. Back in those days, you know, if you get one of those Charles Atlas courses or there wasn't like shows on TV. You only got like the Hercules film.
Oh, yeah.
So everything was like through magazines.
Steve Reeves?
Yeah,
was it Steve Reeves?
Magazines you read about the comic. It wasn't like a conversation you could have with anybody in the street talking about bodybuilding and fitness because they condemned it.
Yeah.
Because people always said, you know, Lou works out with weights. He's obsessed with weights. Something's wrong with him. Maybe he needs to see a psychiatrist. He's not functioning like a normal person. But my passion, that kept me alive.
And, you know, the weird thing is the endorphins that you create working out help you with your psyche and everything. So
exactly.
You don't need a
psychiatrist. The confidence, the discipline, the determination, and the perseverance.
Lou, what do you think of this? They have these cochlear implants now, and a lot of people who are hearing impaired say, no, if you're born a certain way and you have a difficulty hearing, you shouldn't do anything to alter that. What do you think of that?
No, I think it's great because myself, I have the Esteem implant. And
you
that
do.
Helped me tremendously. But cochlear implant, now they're applying that to babies.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're like, you're older, but now when you're very young, because great thing about cochlear implant is that sometimes if you have no hearing, it gives you some hearing. It works with the brain. And I think it's great because the more hearing you have, the better it is.
God, they've come such a long way in all these things. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And also, the technology of hearing aids is incredible. Now you have Bluetooth with the iPhone.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got to ask you about the Eric Andre show. You were on it. A little guest comes out dressed as the Hulk, sitting very close to you. And you seemed very annoyed, which I can totally understand.
They were trying to provoke me.
And so that was for real.
And I wasn't.
Because it was really annoying.
I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
So at the time, I had surgery. I had rotator cuff surgery. I think I was in the sling. Yeah, I came on the show.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, why am I being treated like this? But it was negative.
It was pretty negative, and I just had to ask because it's like sometimes people go, oh, that was staged. It didn't look staged to me.
No, it wasn't.
Did you walk off? You walked off the show, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I think I walked off the show. I should end the show.
Yeah.
But the person kept trying to antagonize me, kept touching me. And I just told him, I appreciate you keep your hands off me. But I just knew because I was on medication because of my shoulder surgery. And I was very upset. I even told my agent, I said, you should know more in advance when I'm. Don't put me in this position. Yeah.
It's a very uncomfortable show to watch, and you were being very polite at the beginning, and then it was just being pushed a little beyond your limit.
Uh-huh.
I get it.
We will not antagonize you. Wendy won't. I won't. No one here will antagonize. I promise.
Although I would rather do Rosie O'Donnell show than doing that.
Lou Ferrigno's here. Do not antagonize him. If you're going to call in at 312-981-7200, do not antagonize Lou Ferrigno. That's all we ask. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Lou Ferrigno is here. Yeah, Lou Ferrigno is here. He's in town at Wizard World in Rosemont. Go see it. Wizardworld.com has all your ticket information. What do you think of the other actors, Lou, who played the Hulk, of Ed Norton, of Mark Ruffalo? When you see somebody else playing the Hulk,
they're all good actors, but I'm spoiled with Bill Bixby.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ruffalo is a wonderful actor.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job.
You have done so many interviews. You were just on the Pete McMurray show, and I just, not to embarrass Pete, but I guess Pete just downed some muscle milk and threw it out. What do you think of that stuff?
I think it's great. I think it's a great supplement, yeah.
Doesn't look like it's working on McMurray.
I eat a lot of Reese's peanut butter cups. Do you think that's a good? I eat a lot of Reese's peanut butter cups. Is that good for me, do you think?
I do.
You do? You do? Oh, good.
I love peanut butter. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Now we're talking.
So you said that when you were getting bullied a little bit and you turned to working out and lifting weights, and not a lot of people were doing it back then. What was your first routine like? Did you just pick up dumbbells?
My first routine, I made my own barbell. I was poor. I couldn't afford it. I got a cement pail. I filled half with cement, two pails, and I stuck a broomstick so it got hard. And I remember lifting it kind of like awkward, but I just liked the feeling of lifting it. But I remember the pail would be spinning around the broomstick. I tried to keep it balanced because a friend of mine had waist. I went to their house. I couldn't afford waist. I made my own. And then sometimes I work out with their waist. But I was trying to get the movement correctly to see how much you can press. I was like 12 or 13 years
old. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lou, at my health club, they've told me I want to work out every other day to give my muscles time to relax. But something tells me you work out, if not every day, every 20 minutes. You look like you work out constantly.
No, I do. I do 40 minutes of cardio, 20 minutes of weight training. But I train the body parts. I split the body parts.
Oh,
up.
You do?
I don't train the same body part every day.
Yeah. Because it's bad for your muscles, right? You need to give them a little time to relax.
Yeah, you need to stimulate the muscles every 72 hours.
Yeah.
So is it true that you're really kind of ripping the muscle and then it repairs itself and then it gets big and bulky and lovely like you are? Is
exactly.
that how it happens?
What I like to do sometimes, I like to beat my body up and then go get a good massage after that. That helps me.
That's key,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because I don't want to get all these spasms, all these knots, because I fly a lot. Especially when you fly two planes, then you get off the plane, you feel kind of stiff.
Yeah.
So it's important to take care of your body.
Lou and I have the same problems, Wendy.
Yes, we do. You said this is your last interview. Of course, Lou Ferrigno is going to be at the Wizard World Comic Con. It's going on all weekend long. Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. It's fun. Wizardworld.com if you'd like to find out more information. This is your last interview of the day.
Yeah, and open today at 12 o'clock.
And then you were worried about getting breakfast. You want to get breakfast. What does the Incredible Hulk have for breakfast?
Well, I'm going to have a breakfast. I'll tell you exactly. I'm going to have 3 egg whites mixed with 1 yolk. With tomatoes, omelet, cottage cheese, a muffin with peanut butter and jam,
got
coffee,
protein,
water,
there.
And orange juice. How's that?
Look at that.
What about Fruit Loops? No Fruit Loops? No.
I think you
should have 2 Fruit Loops just to say you did it. How come in the comic books for years and years when they would tell the story of the Hulk, his name was Dr. Bruce Banner? But when it was on TV, it was Dr. David Banner.
Because back in the 70s, when I began the series, TBS wanted the name David because they felt that the name Bruce sounded gay.
Too feminine.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's correct.
But Bruce Wayne, they never changed. But
no, but the original name was Bruce Banner. Yeah. Not David Banner, but they changed David Banner.
Yeah.
To CBS.
They were afraid.
And also,
the name
they said nothing
gay.
Below the navel. Far close.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like I Dream of Jeannie. The same thing happened that I Dream of Jeannie. Wow. Wow. If that show had gone on for years and years, would you have stayed with it?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, why not, right?
We were supposed to film another season, but apparently they pulled the plug because it's very expensive.
Oh.
That was a mistake because we were doing well in the rating.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But time to move on.
Our producer, Kevin, works out quite a bit. He's in great shape, and he wanted to arm wrestle you.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't want that for air?
No, not
sorry. But Kevin was telling us.
He looks very confident behind the window. Let's see what happens if we go behind the window with him.
I Love You, Man is a movie he was bragging about this morning. I haven't seen it yet, so I have
great
to watch
movie.
It.
That comedy of 2008.
God, why didn't I see it?
You should see it. It's really funny.
Any more acting for you? Because you're really good.
Yeah, I just did a comedy of Game of Thrones called Purge of Thrones. I played the role of Ned. We filmed that at the Leeds Castle 4 months ago. I got a movie that came out from Instant Death from Sony Pictures, the British film. And I've got a couple more films. And also, you'll see the new Thor film. You'll be here by Sense of Surprise.
Oh, are you in the new Thor film?
I can't say
You can't say?
He might be.
He might be. That's excellent.
Voice, yeah.
That's excellent. What have you turned down? Like, what has somebody come to you and said, Lou, we've got an idea, and then you read it and you go,
I've never turned anything down.
You never know?
Sometimes I have bad luck because sometimes I've had opportunities, but because of schedule conflict.
Oh, that makes sense.
All right, now you got me hungry thinking about your breakfast. Is that the most important meal of the day?
Yeah.
Is it really?
The more you're talking, the more hungry I'm getting.
I know, that's his dangling carrot right now.
I'm literally starving.
During the commercial break, are you going to get there by 11?
I just feel that ache and the peanut butter.
Wendy, two rules. Do not intimidate Lou Ferrigno and do not make him hungry.
I know. I'm
please.
Sorry.
The last thing you want to do is make him more hungry. What's the worst? Is there one food that's like your guilty pleasure food that you know you shouldn't be eating, but you eat it anyway?
Too much peanut butter.
Is that right?
Well, you know, over the years, I was splurged to have cake and pastry, stuff like that. But now it's just, I probably just have a taste of something. I don't splurge anymore.
Right. You can't let yourself. You don't want people to go, oh, the incredible bulk. You don't want that.
Oh.
No. You got to stay strong.
I'll be like you.
Yeah. Oh, zing, zing. You really do look fantastic. You really
do. Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
You do. And you got a great sense of humor. What else can we talk about today?
I wonder, is there a Mrs. Ferrigno? Are you married?
Yeah.
You are.
38 years.
Congratulations. 38 years.
38 years.
So how did she meet you? What happened that
me out of the restaurant. I thought of her being the female manager, so she threw me out of the restaurant. She was managing TGI Friday.
Really?
And then I went back again a couple of weeks later with a different circumstance. And then we dated, and then...
38 years.
And then she hooked you.
It's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kids?
Yeah, three kids, 36. My daughter, my two boys are 32 and 27. And my middle son, Lou, he's filming a TV series now called SWAT for CBS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Based on the old TV series SWAT?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
They're in great shape, aren't they?
Exactly.
You won't let them get out of shape?
No.
It must be tough, though, like when you're the dad. Like, my dad was not built like you, sir, so it was easy for me to top that. But for them, it must be very difficult.
It is very difficult. Still difficult today.
We heard off the air, Michael Rooker was in with us yesterday from The Walking Dead and, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy. And he took over your booth at Wizard World one year?
Yeah, he wrote down cartoons on my drawing, and he's always making fun of me. Michael is an extrovert 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you see Rooker, you know he's coming.
Yeah.
But he wears the same leather jacket, the same hat, the same glasses, the same white T-shirt. I've seen him for the last 7 years.
You should, as a Christmas present, you should buy him a new outfit.
I think I'm going to do it today.
Who do you like to see? Because you've been doing Wizard World and all these Comic-Cons for so long. Who do you run into besides Michael Rooker that you like catching up with?
Well, there's so many people I see him all the time. I would say nobody special this weekend. I've seen him more. I work with him a lot.
Yeah.
Wasn't it said this will be the first year we don't have Adam West anymore?
Yeah.
I'm sure you got to know him over the years.
Oh,
a nice
he's a great
man,
guy.
Wasn't
I like
he?
Adam West. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, like yourself, always stayed in very, very good shape, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, he did. He hiked a lot, but for some reason, he just got ill and passed on.
Yeah, that's so sad. Lou, an honor
Thank
to
you.
Meet you. So much fun to meet you. I know you're hungry, and
Go
I'm not going to keep
yes.
you away from breakfast anymore. Go see Lou Ferrigno. Bring
okay.
him something to eat. He's hungry. He's at the Wizard World Comic-Con in Rosemont today through Sunday.
He is out the door because he really cannot
hungry.
Stop thinking about
he's
breakfast.
Very
Great
hungry.
To meet you.
Thank you so much, Lou. We'll take a quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
What I like about you, Bill, I found an article at Forbes.com, and I would like to share it with everyone because they have put together some traits that make you unlikable, and I have a couple of them, and I like to be liked.
So you're saying that if you possess these traits, you would be considered or deemed unlikable by most of society?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right.
They conducted a study at UCLA. Subjects rated over 500 descriptions of people based on their perceived significance to likability.
Mm-hmm.
And the top-rated descriptors had nothing to do with being gregarious, intelligent, or attractive.
I'm surprised, because I would think those would all be major factors, but you say no. Okay.
Well, according to this UCLA study, the top descriptors were sincerity, transparency, and capable of understanding another person.
Mm-hmm.
So Forbes has put together a list of things that make you unlikable, and I have some of them, and you have some of them.
Oh, I'm shocked. I bet everybody has some of them.
Well, I don't know which one you or me would fit this category. Why don't you tell me? Sharing too much too early.
You.
I think that it'd be safe to say it's Wendy, yes.
While getting to know people requires a healthy amount of sharing, sharing too much about yourself right off the bat comes across wrong.
We should have this article laminated and
hung
in the office.
Stop it. Be careful to avoid sharing personal problems and confessions too quickly.
You never do that.
I'm lying.
I can't not do that. But can I tell you, conversely, there are people, sometimes complete strangers, and you've seen this happen too, where if they're having a problem or an issue, they just start talking to me about it.
Yeah, I have seen that happen.
I will never forget, sorry to interject, I went to a video store when those were still a thing, and I'm browsing around, and then the counter, you know, the clerk comes up to me and she says, the first thing out of her mouth, so yeah, my life's been weird lately.
Oh.
I don't do it that quickly.
No, that was too much.
I say hello first.
You sometimes say hello first, but I've seen you in the elevator where the person leaving the elevator goes, what was that?
Okay, but now, I don't think this is true about me. Yes, yeah. I share too much too early, but according to the study, oversharing comes across as self-obsessed and insensitive to the balance of the conversation. I'm not doing it for that reason.
I don't think you're doing it to be self-obsessed.
Think of it this way. If you're getting into the nitty-gritty of your life without learning about the other person first, you're sending the message that you see them as nothing more than a sounding board for your problems.
Nope, I don't think that's the reason you're doing it.
All right, thank God. All right.
Why are you doing it? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I think I need a therapist.
Here's my theory.
Go ahead.
Because you've been doing radio so long and you know that on radio it's bad to have silence.
I like to fill up the dead air.
You think that in real life you also cannot have silence. Do you think that possibly could be right?
Yeah.
I bet that's it.
I know.
So you should just throw it to traffic.
Okay.
whenever there's quiet in the elevator, go, let's take a look at the roadways.
Yeah, when you were in gym or at home, since you're both radio people, are you constantly talking nonstop?
Yeah. In fact, when Dylan was born, my second son, he didn't talk till he was after two, and I was worried. We got his ears checked. We didn't know what was going on, and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, a little after two, he started talking in full sentences, and the doctors that were examining him said, there's no time for him to talk. You've got mom and dad, and Michael came out of the womb talking.
Wow.
So Dylan would just point to things, and he was the baby, and we'd get it for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really loud, and that's why I like to come to work.
It's quieter.
It is.
Easier. Now, to answer your question on my side, I've noticed since I've been in radio, if I'm driving a car and I drive underneath a bridge, you can't hear me. Why would that be? It doesn't make sense. It just gets quiet all of a sudden.
Again, Forbes.com put this together. These are unlikable traits in people. Here's one, and this makes total sense, having a closed mind. You can't have a closed
mind. You cannot have a closed mind.
If you want to be likable, you must be open-minded, which makes you approachable and interesting to others. No one wants to have a conversation with someone who has already formed an opinion and is unwilling to listen.
That's so true.
100% true.
That's as true as can be. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, let me
But I'm sure you've encountered people who are just closed-minded. You can't get them to buckle about anything. They've made up their minds.
Then I stop talking. That's the only thing that gets me to stop talking.
Yeah, you should, because you go, what's the point of this?
And you don't want to get into a fight.
No.
And usually this happens at family gatherings.
Almost always.
Again, unlikable traits, things that make you unlikable, gossiping.
Oh, yeah.
I don't gossip that much.
I think you gossip
more than I do.
I do. I am much more of a gossip. Hey, I know something about somebody. Yeah, I like to do that.
You start out a lot of stories. I can't tell you who, gossiping, of course, people make themselves look terrible when they get carried away with gossiping. Wallowing in talk of other people's misdeeds or misfortunes may end up hurting their feelings if the gossip ever finds its way back to them.
That said, isn't it fun to know inside stuff about people you love or work with or both? Isn't it kind of interesting? Every once in a while, I'll share something with you. I'll go, you want to hear something about Bertrand? You're not going to believe this. And then I'll tell you, and you go, I didn't know that about Steve Bertrand. Yeah.
Gossiping is guaranteed to make you look negative and spiteful every time.
Yes.
I don't know about every time.
Most times.
Here's another one you're guilty of.
Me?
Name dropping.
You know what's funny is Robert De Niro said to me once.
It's great to know important and interesting people, but using every conversation as an opportunity to name drop is pretentious and silly. You don't do it that much.
I only do it if it's pertinent right. to the story. If it's somebody
and
that...
And that's when you should do it.
Yeah.
Just like humble bragging, people see right through it. Instead of making you look interesting, it makes people feel as though you're insecure and overly concerned with having them like you. It also cheapens what you have to offer.
That's true, too.
When you connect everything you know with who you know instead of what you know or what you think, conversations lose their color.
Right. Who said this? Forbes? Forbes magazine?
Forbes magazine
right.
put this together. They did a study at UCLA. Another one I am guilty of, these are unlikable traits, things that make you unlikable, whipping out your phone.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Nothing turns someone off to you like a mid-conversation text message or even a quick glance at your phone.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay,
I
but
totally
so
agree.
Say you and I are having a conversation during a commercial break and I get texted by one of my sons and I have to answer him.
I guess it could wait? It could wait. Like, I go out of my way. If I need to check my phone, I always ask, I know this will sound ridiculous, but it's true. I'll go out to dinner with my wife and my daughters, and I'll say, I'm getting a text, or I'll say, I need to check the Cubs score, the White Sox. Can I just check it for a second? And if they say no, I don't.
Who would say no?
Well,
They wouldn't say no to you.
I don't want to set a precedent by which, like, there was a time where my daughters were on their phone quite a bit. If we'd go out and we just said to them, we go, you know, it's...
We're not paying if you're going to be on your phone.
Don't.
Kevin, you can attest to this. Every time we're in the office, you do that now. You're like, I'm getting a text. It's like you're so excited.
It's not that I'm excited. I'm just warning people around me, sometimes you, sometimes Kevin, that this could be a key moment. This could be important. It never is, but I'm always afraid it might be. And along the same lines, and you don't do this a lot. I have friends who do this all the time. Any conversation I'm having with them is punctuated by them showing me photographs of something. Like no matter what we're talking about, they'll reach in their phone and they'll type something and then they'll show me and I'll go, yeah, that is Montana. Yeah, you're right.
I want to do that so badly with you. And last time I did that, I showed something. Oh, my dog looked like a Rorschach test on a rug. And you looked at it and you go, what am I supposed to do with that?
Right.
So I will never show you a picture again.
But don't you know people who you can't talk more than 2 or 3 minutes without them showing you the reference point that whatever story they're telling you, look, I had a cupcake and look, here's the picture of the cupcake.
I like a slideshow.
I believed you. I knew you had a cupcake.
I like a slideshow to go along with to pepper the conversation. when you commit to a conversation, focus all your energy on the conversation. I will tell you this. I cannot stand when I'm having a conversation with someone and they look away.
Yeah.
That really is...
Yeah.
It's, and I know, like, you can multitask and do things. You're looking away now. I know.
Doing
I
it
get
on purpose.
It. Yeah, I know. But do you know what I mean? When you're talking to somebody and, like, they start, like, Jim does the dishes all the time. Thank God I have him because he really does all the time. And if I'm talking to him and he looks back at the dishes, I'm like, why aren't you looking at me? Mm-hmm. He goes, because I'm doing the dishes. Mm-hmm. I can listen and do these things. But it is, I always feel like people aren't paying attention
right.
if they look away.
You want to focus.
You do, don't you?
Yes.
That's something you teach your kids when they're little.
Yes.
When you speak to someone, look them in the eye.
Yes.
Dave wants to get into the conversation here. Dave, are you a likable person?
Yes, I am. First thing is give your husband hell. That's rude. He shouldn't do that. He should look right directly at you.
Yeah, but I don't want him to stop doing the dishes, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, that's for sure. I have an interesting story to tell you, a funny story to tell you about texting. My wife and I were at dinner not too long ago, about a month ago, and four women who sat across the aisle from us came in about 5 or 10 minutes after we did. They were somewhere between 25 and 30 years old. They said hello to each other. They were obviously friends and business, whatever. And they sat down and immediately starting going to their phones. And it just went on for like 10 or 15 minutes. There was no conversation at all.
Aren't you seeing that more and more, though? What did your wife say?
Yeah. But here's the thing. I leaned over and I said to my wife, I said, they're texting one another.
Maybe.
I was just blown away by it. Honest to God, 10 to 15 minutes, They didn't say another word, and then until the first one put their phone down, and then it went, you know, progressively after that. But it was at least that amount of time.
Dave, a couple months ago, all four members of my family were in New York, and we were eating in a restaurant that was a pretty expensive restaurant, and the couple at the next table, the tables were very close to each other. There was a couple at the next table who were on a date. I don't know if they were married. I don't know if they were just in dating phase. They didn't say a word to each other all through the meal. The whole meal was spent with them texting or looking up stuff on their phones.
Why go out to dinner?
To any restaurant, but an expensive restaurant, I don't understand it.
He must have gotten in trouble somehow, and, you know, she wasn't talking to him.
Maybe. I hope that's what it was.
She wasn't going to blow off the dinner date they had at the expensive restaurant.
Right.
That's when you reschedule. Come on.
I would do that.
You know how women are. You know, they're going to get what they need.
Dames, am I right?
Oh, shut up, you two. Listen, don't go to bed mad and don't go to dinner mad. That's what we've learned.
That's solid.
That's true.
Have a great weekend, Dave.
You too. Bye.
Bye, Dave. Thanks.
I have more of these things that make you unlikable. Can we continue?
Yes.
And if you have some, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, the likable one, on 720 WGN. It's Bill. It's Wendy. And we're talking about an article that Forbes.com put together, things that make you unlikable. They did a study of 500 people at UCLA. And Bill, we had mentioned whipping out your phone. Nothing else turns someone off to you like a mid-conversation text message or even a glance at your phone.
Because
that's like looking at your watch.
Well,
like if somebody's talking to you and you look at your watch like, oh, God, when are they going to be done?
A glance is kind of easily forgiven because you say to yourself, I know that people are very busy, and you say maybe they're checking to see if something important has, not more important, but, you know,
additionally
maybe
important.
Yeah. So I'm always forgiving if somebody just glances down, but if somebody just, you know, stops and starts texting somebody
or playing Candy Crush.
Yeah, that would be a little much.
Janine wants to jump in. Hi, Janine.
Hi.
What's up, Janine?
I was just wondering if maybe those people that are texting at the restaurant were actually texting about you guys.
Oh, that could be.
Couldn't talk about it.
That could definitely be.
That's true.
Yeah.
They were texting about the Left family that were out together. Look at these guys.
There's four people next to each other talking to each other instead of texting. What century do they live in?
And then one other thing, too, something that I can't stand in people is when you meet them several times and every time they introduce themselves as though you've never met them
before. Isn't that something?
That I am so guilty. Listen, Janine, I am terrible with names, and I presume that other people are as well. So if I met you a bunch of times, I'd go, hey, I'm Wendy. Like, remember? I wish people would do that to me so then I can remember their names. So I bug you.
That is. Oh, that's good. And I'm a teacher, so maybe that's why I can remember names. But a lot of the things you're saying, Wendy, I've got those same faults.
Are you way too open and honest and tell people your problems?
I kind of am, yeah.
And then once you do that, do you feel fulfilled somehow? I'm curious.
You know what? It's kind of safer to sometimes tell someone you don't know that well some of your problems.
I never thought of that.
You know?
Do you know how many taxi
problem that I've been having?
Oh, my God. Almost every cab driver that I've ever been in their car knows more about me than anybody. Because they just listen.
Because then you can get out of the cab, and then you never really have to address that anymore. Like,
that's
true. Talked about it, and...
Yep. It's like you've been to confession almost, right?
Right.
And there's that little window in the cab, so it's perfect.
But the cab driver can't absolve you of sins, I don't think.
They told me they could.
No, I don't think they can.
Thank you, Janine. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, Janine.
Love
thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Forbes.com, emotional hijackings.
What is that?
I don't know. My company provides 360 degrees feedback assessments, and we come across far too many instances of people throwing things, screaming, making people cry, or other telltale signs of an emotional hijacking. So if you blow up at work, exploding at anyone, regardless of how much they might deserve it, turns a huge amount of negative attention your way.
But that's not a surprise.
No, and everybody's done it.
That one's easy. Yeah.
All right. We have another one. These are things that make you unlikable. Not asking enough questions.
Now, keep in mind, because of what we do for a living, it's kind of in our DNA to know that if you're having a conversation, questions are a big part of it. But don't you know people? There was a couple, my wife and I went out a couple of years ago. I don't want to be more specific than that, where the entire conversation, a 2-hour dinner, was all them. They didn't ask a question. They didn't. It was just, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's where I'm going. And that was it.
You've got to ask questions because if you're with someone like that who never says, oh, how are the girls?
Yeah.
How's school going?
Yeah.
If they're not asking you questions, it clearly shows they don't care what's
right.
going on in your life.
Right.
I agree with this. The biggest mistake people make in conversation is being so focused on what they're going to say next or how what the other person is saying is going to affect them that they fail to listen. We've talked about this before. Bobby Scafish, who is a staple on FM rock radio, on XRT and The Loop and whatever, he told me some great interview advice. Have a list of questions that you want to ask the guest. Definitely do your homework, but listen to what they say because then you can build off
sure.
that.
Always.
So asking questions, just listen to the conversation. If you're just planning what you're going to say to
right.
fill the dead air,
right.
you're not going to do anything.
I learned that from Pete McMurray, Wendy.
The words come through loud and clear, but the meaning is lost if you don't ask questions. A simple way to avoid this is just ask a lot of questions. People like to know you're listening. Something as simple as this is key, a clarification question.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you say, mm-hmm. you'll say something like, my rabbit was acting weird. And instead of just going, oh yeah, my dog, blah, blah, blah. I'd go, how
weird,
how did it happen?
Yeah.
I like this one.
Does it have to be about rabbits?
No.
Or were you, that was just an
Could
example?
Could be about anything.
All right.
Things that make you unlikable, being too serious.
Yes. How many times have you been accused of that?
Neither of us have.
Never.
People gravitate towards those who are passionate. That said, it's easy for passionate people to come across as too serious or uninterested because they tend to get absorbed in their work. Likeable people balance their passion for their work with their ability to have
fun.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I could see it.
I don't know too many people who are too serious, quite honestly.
But every once in a while, don't you find somebody who's in that bracket and you just go, boy, I just spent 10 minutes with that guy and that was too long. That guy's always with that guy. He is that guy. How could you always be that serious?
And, you know, our bosses here at WGN, we've got Todd Manley, Stephanie Menendez.
And Jimmy. Is he in today?
Jimmy DeCastro is not here anymore.
What?
No, it's Friday, Jay. He's often not here on Friday.
Maybe he's not
Captain
here on
Friday. That's his nickname.
Right.
But, like, even talking to Bertrand, we usually goof around, but then if it gets serious, I feel weird.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm not used to, like, even, like, if Todd gets serious about something, like, seriously, guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Then it throws you a little
quit
bit.
Quit teasing Pete McMurray, and then it's like, I feel like I'm a child
You've been
again.
Scolded.
Yes.
I like a Steve Bertrand when he's serious.
I don't.
It puts things in perspective.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Like that. That's what I mean.
Appreciate it.
I like that version. Right.
And humble bragging, according to Forbes.com.
Well, I'd have to say. Oh.
We all know those people who like to brag about themselves behind the mask of self-deprecation. For example, the girl... They put the gal. I hate that word.
The gal
who makes fun of herself for being a nerd when she really wants to draw attention to the fact that she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Or the guy who makes fun of himself for having a strict diet when he really wants you to know how healthy and fit he is.
Humble Rigno.
I got to tell you, we lost him when we took our first commercial break, and all he could say was, are we going to get to breakfast by 11?
Yeah, he was
and
very then, hungry.
And then the second part of it, he was so unfocused, all he could think about was eating.
Yeah, I know.
We totally lost him. So humble bragging is another bad thing. These are, according to Forbes.com, things that make you unlikable.
Now, you said at the beginning you think all these applied to you, and it turned out only 80% of them applied to you. You did pretty well, I thought.
I don't like smartasses, nor do other people.
A quick break, and then some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill's a super freak. Super freak. He's super freaky.
Thanks, Wendy. Yow. That's nice of you.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com, and it always disappoints us, Kurt, when you're not wearing a hat.
Sorry.
That's all right.
But how are you guys doing?
We're doing fine.
I'm super freaky.
How are your lives?
Our lives are fine, Kurt.
Thank you for asking the questions. See,
Kurt just learned from our last segment.
He's likable.
The likable Kurt Wagner has a TV show patrol.com website that you should visit if you enjoy television, where there's all sorts of fun facts. Now, we've talked about Jerry Lewis a couple of times this week, but you wanted to add a little bit more about his contributions to the world of television. Wendy, not a fan of Jerry Lewis. I understand his place in comedy history. What about you, Kurt?
Well, I remember his old comedies when he was young, and I always thought they were so funny.
Yeah.
I laughed so often at them.
I will admit that yesterday while talking to Patrick McDonald, I did say that now I respect kind of him being groundbreaking in a certain, like Jim Carrey is all I think of now when I think of Jerry Lewis, but I still was not that big of a fan. I'm sorry. I respect what he did. It didn't make me laugh.
I mean, his reputation in later years was horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Tough person to interview. One of those guys who demanded right up until the end that women weren't as funny as men when he's wrong.
He was a believer in that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. He often talked about that. Now, from the TV standpoint, he had a variety show that didn't last long that was entertaining for a while. I think it's one of the first places that the Osmond brothers, actually Andy Williams was the one who first got the Osmond brothers into some fame, but I remember Jerry used to have them on all the time, the Osmond brothers, and there was a cartoon show, I played you the theme song, called Will the Real Jerry Lewis Please Sit Down? Now, Jerry didn't do the voice of Jerry Lewis on the show, but a young actor named David L. Lander did, who nobody knew at the time, and he later went on to be Squiggy.
Squiggy, I thought that name sounded familiar.
Yeah. I think it was his first job on television.
Squiggy was very much like Jerry Lewis.
Yes, the more I think about that. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Wow. But
Squiggy was the dark-haired one,
yeah,
right?
Lenny
was shorter.
McCann. Yeah.
Lenny Kozlowski and Andrew Squiggerman.
Okay. You...
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Read my book about Lenny and Squiggy. It's on Amazon.
That you're about to write.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jerry Lewis is going to TCM, Turner Classic Movies, is going to do it. They always do it. TCM Remembers thing, and they're doing one on September 4th, all evening from like 7 p.m. until 4 a.m., and they're showing five or six of his movies.
You know what's interesting is they're showing the ones that are the classic solo films, Nutty Professor, The Bellboy, The Disorderly Orderly, but they're also including what I think is his greatest film role, The King of Comedy. He's not in it for much, but he plays a pivotal role in
People always talk about that. Yeah, and that was a serious role.
Oh yeah.
As not a fun.
And you know who was supposed to have that role and then Jerry replaced? Johnny Carson. They offered it to Johnny Carson and it was essentially him playing himself and he just said, "No, I can't do that." So Jerry took the role and did a great job.
Yeah.
I need to mention some irony. I don't usually do irony, but
today
the Jerry Lewis special is on Labor Day.
Yeah.
That's wild. Oh, mm-hmm.
That is ironic. Yeah.
He
was Mr. Labor Day.
He was. Yeah.
That was the one down.
Even the year he was really ill and they didn't think he was going to do it, he did it, right? For a part of the time.
Yeah. He was in a wheelchair, very large from being on prednisone. He had put on a lot of weight and did not look very good.
Yeah.
And then he was, they let him go how many years ago?
Four or five years ago, he just kind of unceremoniously was let go by the MDA people.
Why, though?
Didn't want to talk about it.
That seems weird.
Over the years, he said some things that were highly inappropriate. And they would always behind the scenes like, what do we do? Because Jerry has made him over $2 billion over the years.
Well, he was, when you talk about that telethon, that's what you think of.
Right.
I mean, that's what I see, even still.
Right.
As the night went on, he got wackier and wackier, and you know he was sleep deprived. You know, so he wasn't sleeping, and he was just.
That's
being
when
Jerry
you used
Lewis.
To love it, didn't you?
I would stay up all night. I seriously
to see
did.
That part.
To see him get
four in the morning,
happy.
Five in the morning. You know, he'd have Shecky Green on, and he would say the most inappropriate, awful things. And even David Hartman, you know, who'd be on, or Ed McMahon, would go, Jerry, you can't say that on television, and he just did. It was always so weird and awkward. I loved it.
I didn't realize they let him go. I thought he was still kind of doing it.
No. The last, was it either last year or the year before, he came on and did, I think, a pre-recorded piece because it was kind of bitter for him, you know, to all of a sudden, after all those years of being the guy, all of a sudden you're let go. But I know either last year or the year before, he came on and did a pre-recorded piece. So there was some kind of mending of the fences.
But yeah, certainly a big loss, Jerry Lewis. All right, let's talk about a couple of other things TV related, Kurt. Number one, the show Humans of New York. What do we need to know about this?
Well, Facebook is launching a new, I think it's on Facebook, called a new channel, quote unquote, called The Watch. It's in Facebook's new platform, The Watch, and their first show is this docuseries, Humans of New York, which is a docuseries based on the book, based on the Facebook site, the Facebook page.
It's pictures of people just walking around New York City.
And the guy takes photos and interviews them, but he apparently now has done video also. And there's a trailer you can see on the Humans of New York.
He's just captivated at the diversity and the different personalities of people.
Well, exactly. The whole sort of social levels of different people and everything.
It has the potential to be pretty good. Is this something all you need is Facebook to watch?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I couldn't find much out about The Watch, but...
It starts next week.
And it's a half-hour series.
Saturday Night Live has announced their startup date and who will be the host and musical host for the 43rd season premiere.
Mm-hmm. September 30th, Ryan Gosling will host.
Good choice.
With musical guest Jay-Z.
Also a good choice.
And I'm thinking Gosling maybe... I wonder if it's time to the sequel to
Blade Runner.
Because I've seen that ad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? They correspond, the guest host, with a new
movie coming? A lot of
times
they do,
because
it's just like when they're on talk shows.
The musical guests almost
always have
a new CD dropping, and the guest hosts always have either a movie or a TV show that's about to premiere. It wasn't like that in the early days, but that's what it's become of late. They've had huge success with their Thursday edition of Saturday Night Live, with their weekend update half-hour show. I didn't get to see it last night, but it's been really funny.
Last night was the last one.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, for the summer.
They didn't promote that well enough because I didn't realize it was on. How many were there?
I kept forgetting. I ended up having to catch up on it. There were four. It was 4 weeks.
I'll find them online.
I kept forgetting. I don't think I actually watched it live until last week's
episode. Last week.
And not promoted enough, in my opinion.
Not really.
Yeah. Just kind of was snuck in there.
They went out of their way on these half-hour episodes to bring back alumni, people from the past, and it was always pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, last night... what's his name?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin was back on as Trump doing the speech in Arizona, and he brought out
Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon, who they always have with the scary music and
the
Grim Reaper.
Doom.
Yeah, he's the Grim Reaper.
Yeah,
and that was pretty funny.
What do you think happened behind the scenes? Alec Baldwin said toward the end of last season he thinks that joke has run its course. That he thinks there's been enough of him being Donald Trump. Time to move on. Did they just throw a lot of money at him?
Because the truth set in for people.
Well, that's what it was. You know, when I was watching that, I actually watched that this morning. That sketch and. All I could think of was, because I saw some of the actual speech the other night, I was like, they didn't even need to do this.
Right.
Because Trump's doing it himself. It's like he's a parody already of himself.
Yeah.
It's too real now. It's like, you know, you're watching it to see it be a spoof, and it's not really a spoof.
And the whole way that he flip-flops every, you know, like the day after that speech was another very divisive speech on Twitter. He says something about unity again.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he's just doing himself.
Yeah.
You know?
But he went from saying, this is already played out. I think we're going to do something else. I don't really want to come back and play Donald Trump, to all of a sudden, he's eager to play Donald Trump again.
Is he going to do the whole season or just for the. Oh, he is going to. Yeah.
I mean, Lauren Michaels and me are friends, and he lives in New York.
But he did this with 30 Rock also. Yeah. Toward the end of 30 Rock, he goes, you know, I've been playing the character, and we had fun with it, but I think we're going to.
Maybe they are throwing a lot of money, but I don't know. Yeah. I haven't heard. What the arrangement is.
It'd be like leaving a White Sox game early.
You're unlikable.
All right, let's take a quick break. And then Kurt Wagner will tell us more about the inside workings of television. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Kurt Wagner is here from TVShowPatrol.com. You do a great job with your website, by the way.
Thank you.
Really enjoy it. Saw this in the news. Bill Nye, no longer the science guy. What is he?
Well, he's still the science guy, but he's on a different network in the show. What's the show called now? I can't remember. It's on Netflix, and it's called something else. But he is suing Walt Disney
for
not getting a certain amount of money for the science guy show that was on from, 94 to 99.
I was setting you up for your own thing. Bill Nye, the lawsuit guy, by the way.
Sorry, I missed it.
So this took place between 1994 and 1999, but it's just now coming to a lawsuit?
Yes.
It's 18 years later?
Yes. He's suing them for $37 million.
Wow.
Didn't Dave Anik go to school with him?
Yes, they did. They attended school together. Wow. You're right. Yep.
He alleges he didn't receive his share of the net profits generated by the show.
I would not upset Walt Disney.
Walt Disney owes him money.
Yeah.
You know Walt Disney died, right?
Yes.
Right.
The Walt Disney Productions.
Walt Disney Productions.
Yes.
I wouldn't mess with them.
The company.
No, I didn't know that.
I would not mess with them. Kathy Bates, one of the most respected actresses in history, is coming to television. The show is called Disjointed.
She's smoking some weed on TV.
What?
Yeah, she plays somebody who runs a owner of a cannabis dispensary. And I've only seen the trailers, but she's having fun with it, it looks
like. Is she great? Because I love her and everything she's ever
I mean, made. I imagine she is, yeah. But I haven't seen it.
She's been on other TV. She had her own TV show a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that lawyer show.
Is that the first time? Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I think this is...
Yeah, but a high Kathy Bates makes me giggle.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, she looks the part in the show,
she's
too.
She's a good actress.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
That'll be fun to watch. When does that start?
Is she a dame
Starts
yet?
Today.
No, she can't be a dame.
Oh.
She's American. There's no American dame.
She might be a dame.
Except for you. The list has been released of who's making what. This comes out a couple of times a year, and we're always amazed to see who's on the list of what actors and actresses, both in drama and comedy, are making what. What surprised you about this year's list?
Well, Katy Perry is going to host the new American Idol, and they wooed her with $25 million annually.
Wait.
Just to host the new American Idol.
So for the year... So we don't know how many years she'll be on it, but the deal says you, Katy Perry, will earn $25 million per year. That's a ton of money.
So per season, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't she already making a lot?
She makes
that
a crazy amount of money.
And she's like fourth place on the reality news and host thing. Ellen DeGeneres is first, of course, making $50 million
a year. She deserves it, man. She is so
she
good.
Does. Yeah.
And you know, she's doing all kinds of things. Besides that hour of the show,
right?
You know, so that makes more sense.
She produces other television shows. I'll always see her name at the end of some comedy,
right? And then Netflix threw $12 million at David Letterman
only do a couple episodes.
Yeah, that's like six or eight. So it's $2 million per episode.
Wow.
So six episodes.
It's worth it, though.
Wow.
Well, we'll see if it's worth it once it comes out. But
yeah.
I'm sure, I mean, obviously they think it is. But the story, Variety had a story, and they talked about how with all the money that Netflix and other streaming services have, it's raising the salaries for a lot of people because they're throwing all kinds of money at people to get them on their platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both producers and directors and actors.
Netflix has really changed the way
in a lot of different ways. Yeah.
Stranger Things is going to be happening right around Halloween. If you want to pitch a show, it's like Netflix is the place to be now.
Well, and from what I understand too, they don't meddle that often like the main networks do. You know, they don't give a lot of notes to the producers. You know, it's sort of a
do your own thing.
We trust you. Do whatever you do.
Yeah, do what you do, and we'll do what
they're
we do.
They're changing the face of television.
So those were some of those. The comedy thing wasn't a surprise because almost the entire cast of The Big Bang Theory is in the top 15 at least.
Kurt, here's why this is interesting to me. On that show, on The Big Bang Theory, you really have three people that are the stars of the show, and then you have secondary characters. But they made a deal, much like they did on Friends years ago, where they said, we're all going to make the same amount of money. So a guy like Kunal Nayar, who was one of the backup actors on the show, and probably to most people you hear the name and you go, I don't even know who that guy is.
Right.
He's among the highest paid actors on television. He makes $900,000 a week.
A week?
A week per episode.
Per episode.
Yeah. $900,000.
We're in the wrong business.
I know.
Tell me about it.
I think that's really sweet and wonderful that they're all making the same
amount,
though.
I might be making $9 a week.
I think that's really fair. I mean, yeah, there are some breakout stars to it. Certainly the guy, Jim Parsons.
Yeah, he's won a bunch of Emmys for his role.
But I think that's pretty great.
But here's what they did that's even nicer. A couple of years ago, they added two new cast members to the show. Melissa Rauch
and
Bialik, right?
Bialik.
So the cast said they weren't going to be able to pay these girls what they wanted. So the rest of the cast said, here's what we'll do. We'll take a little bit of a pay cut if you give them what they want. I mean, I would
never do that for you.
I know. I've tried that in my bargaining agreement, and they've said, no, Wendy said she's not
taking a nickel. So those two are making $500,000 an episode, which I also wouldn't sniff at. I wouldn't be upset.
You could survive if you, you know, if you cut corners here and there.
I think if you,
you
were
could
really
survive
wise,
on $500,000 a
maybe,
week.
Maybe cut down on one Starbucks a week.
Right. Right.
You could do that with $500,000. Some other notables, Robert De Niro's doing a new thing for Amazon, and they threw $775,000
per episode
at him
but,
to do that.
But you say to yourself, but that's Robert De Niro. He name here's a blank check. Write in a number. You're Robert De Niro. People are going to love you.
Right.
You're the best actor there is.
Right.
Bob Odenkirk should be making more money.
He's making a ton of money, though.
He's making $150,000 an episode.
For Better Call Saul.
He deserves more than that.
That
is one of the best
shows. A bunch
of
the Game of Thrones folks are also making $500,000.
The Game of Thrones people make a lot of money. Everybody on Modern Family makes a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Mark Harmon makes a lot of money.
Mark Harmon makes a lot of money.
NCIS.
Mark Harmon, who works here at WGN, makes a lot of money.
Dinklage is pulling down $500,000 an episode.
Yep.
I mean, but look at all the names there. It shows you how expensive those shows are to do, not even including Making the Dragons.
That's
right.
True.
That costs, you know? 'Cause that's all paper mache. That adds up. I didn't even know Kevin Costner had a show, and he's making $500,000 a year.
What do you mean? House of Cards? Oh, Costner.
Kevin Costner. Kevin Spacey.
Yellowstone.
I
don't
I think
know
that might
is.
Be coming up. That's a thing coming up.
What show was Claire Danes on originally?
My
so-called life.
My so-called life.
Yeah.
So she's still prevalent at $450,000 an episode.
Yep. Ellen Pompeo.
That's for Homeland.
Yeah.
Emmy Rossum and William H. Macy both $350,000 for Shameless, which films here part of the year. Yeah.
What this is Us kids are not making a ton. Per
episode.
You know
why, though?
It's new. They'll end up making a lot of money.
That's why. It's because nobody knew that show would take off.
Now that it's basically NBC's
major
show, they're probably that was the first season. For the second season, they're probably all bumped up.
What did Ralph Melf make? Do you know when they were at the at the top of the heap?
I have no idea.
No?
Right. I don't even know. It probably wasn't even 40,000, which is the lowest on this list.
Because that's what I would do if I got cast in a TV show. I'd go, I want to make some Melf money. And they would just go, you can't make Melf money. And I go,
no, they'd
not
probably
doing it.
Say yes.
Yeah.
And because it'd probably be so low.
7,000 a year.
Is this list on your TVshowpatrol.com?
No.
Can it be?
Can people call you and you can just tell them what everybody makes?
Yes. Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Kurt will do that. If you want to know what any actor on TV makes, call Kurt at his house.
You find my number and do it.
Kurt Wagner's website is called TVshowpatrol.com. If you're a TV fan, it's the one place you need to go and find out what's going on television. Kurt, thanks so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
One more programming note. This Sunday, besides the Music Awards, ID Network Investigation Discovery is doing a Drew Peterson documentary, a true crime thing.
This.
And it's a 2-hour special, and it supposedly has new stuff in it. New
this is not
interviews.
The one Rob Lowe did 2 years ago.
No, that was a movie. This is an actual documentary thing.
Can't wait to see it.
Bill, please remind Bill that the female characters on The Big Bang Theory are women, not girls. They are not 12. They are women, not girls.
All right. I wrote that down.
Well, you don't like gals either. The gals.
No. All right.
I know.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Thanks,
we'll take
Kurt.
A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Is this the Pokey, Gumby and Pokey theme song?
Yes. This Bend Me, Shape Me, Any Way You Want Me is the theme song for
Gumby
and
Pokey.
Invented by the way?
That would be George Oakey.
No. You're close, though. Art Clokey. I'm not making that up. Art Clokey.
I know
is
you're
the guy
right.
Who invented,
I know.
Gumby and Pokey.
But my brain remembered it a little differently, but I remembered it phonetically.
He should have lived in Skokie. He missed his opportunity.
Or Okefenokee.
Or Okefenokee, right. All right. There is a video circulating. I watched this on the news last night. And sometimes you see something and you go, my eyes are deceiving me. I can't possibly be watching what I think I'm watching. But it's a video of a high school in the Denver area where the coach, the gymnastics coach, is forcing these girls, in particular a freshman girl, she's 13 years old, forcing her body to do things that her body does not want to do. She's screaming out in agony. And like normally, if you were in that situation, you'd go, well, this is hurting her. I must stop. That's what your brain should tell you. But not this guy.
We have the audio of this, Kevin.
Wait till you hear this.
No.
You're just going to make it worse.
Stop me.
Stop.
What the hell is wrong with people?
She keeps yelling, if you can't make it out, please stop, please stop, please stop. And the coach just goes on undaunted. He's trying to force her body into doing the splits, and she doesn't want to do the splits.
Listen, I, as someone who used to be able to do the splits, and I know you're laughing at me, but I did in eighth grade. I was a cheerleader for a minute.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't automatically just jump up and go down. You have to work on it and stretch on that. And ultimately, this girl will probably be able to do the splits if she's not split first.
Well, he caused some harm.
What a jerk.
Yeah. Here's the story. Extremely disturbing video taken at a Denver high school has prompted a child abuse investigation after several girls were allegedly forced into splits during cheerleading practice, despite them screaming out in pain. And what you just heard is only the beginning. It just gets worse. And this guy, like this coach, just won't take please stop for an answer. He's pushing her body down. She's 13. He's just pushing her body down.
What the hell do they have a male coach for cheerleaders?
That's uncommon. I don't think it's that uncommon. Wasn't the top gymnastics coach Bella Caroli? Isn't he like the top gymnastics coach of all time? One of the videos, local station 9 News reported, was filmed at East High School in June, showing several girls holding out another student's legs and arms as the coach appears to push down on her. It doesn't appear. He is. It looks like they're torturing her. It sounds like it, too. I mean, you hear her. I can't. Please stop. Please stop. The girl repeatedly cries out before the man assisting in the maneuver appears frustrated and finally pulls her up and places her down on a nearby mat. And he does. You can see it's like, I can't believe I'm wasting my time with this girl. She's not even trying. But this isn't something that comes naturally. Like you said, you have to work yourself up to this.
And these are cheerleaders. It's not really a gymnastics class.
Right.
So there are some girls that can do the splits, and then the other ones will stand and put their arms up until they can get it.
Right. Right.
Unreal.
Kirsten Wakefield, whose daughter is one of the ones seen crying in the video, told CBS Denver that her child suffered a burst blood vessel from the force maneuver and that she continues to undergo physical therapy. This is a grown man pushing my 13-year-old girl so hard against her will while she's crying and screaming for him to stop, and he's ripping tissue in her body, Wakefield told 9 News. Her daughter Allie appeared beside her during this. 9 News reported they obtained 8 videos that had been shot by fellow cheerleaders on their phones. That's one of the weird aspects of this, is you see this coach well aware of the fact that people have their phones out and they're videotaping them, and despite this, normally, I wouldn't even need a camera. I would go, I'm hurting a human being. I must stop doing this.
And there are witnesses to it that can attest to it. But with video rolling,
he doesn't even care.
Oh, my God.
He continues to do it. The Wakefield said she reported the incident to the school's athletic director, Lisa Porter, back in June. The school didn't launch an investigation until just this past Wednesday. That's the same day that the Denver police said in an email to Huffington Post that they received anonymous information on the school incident and immediately launched their own investigation by the Department of Child Abuse Detectives. Now, it doesn't say in this version of the story, I don't see it anyway. Oh, here it does. I was just going to say that more than just the coach are in trouble. Because of the investigation, school principal Andy Mendelsberg has been placed on leave, as has assistant principal Lisa Porter. So has cheering coach Ozell Williams, assistant cheer coach Mariah Claytis, and DPS Deputy General Counsel Michael Hickman has said that they continue to investigate. We absolutely prohibit any practice that places our students' physical and mental health in jeopardy, said Boasberg. I don't know who that is. I don't remember them being in the story previously. But it's one thing to say that. Again, this person, Boasberg, whoever that is saying we prohibit any practice that places our students' physical and mental health in jeopardy. But you can clearly see they're not taking any of that into account while this guy is trying to bend her.
And the cheer coach who's under this criminal investigation now claimed he was a former Olympic athlete, but it turns out he was not.
Because there's no way you could look that up. If you apply for a job and say, yeah, my background is I was an Olympic gold medalist, wouldn't you look that up? I would.
Yeah, he's he runs a nonprofit youth development program called the Mile High Tumblers Foundation. Spokesman for the U.S. Olympic Committee said Williams was never on any Olympic roster. Nobody's ever heard of him. No record of him being invited to the Olympic gymnastic trials, let alone winning 3 ring titles.
Wow.
Yeah, you can look that stuff up.
Pretty fairly easily.
Can we talk to Joy?
Yeah.
This is terrible, Joy.
Hi. I saw that yesterday, and it was horrifying. The fact that he was holding her down. No, if you're looking at the video, it said something about the audio. The one that I saw, he was holding her, pushing her down, and it shouldn't matter. He's African American. The girl that was in the video was white. And he had 3 young girls holding her down, and they were all African American. It's the thought that he's in control. And you hear on the tape, the one young girl is saying, "You're making it harder. Like, don't, you know, struggle. You're making it harder." And there was a laughter sound heard on the video that I saw as she's screaming and crying and saying, "Stop." He pushes her down, and at the end of it, he lifts her up and kind of tosses her to the side. It happens really fast, but it's kind of like lifts her on the split and tosses her to the side. Has other girls holding her down, and I think that's scary enough because you go, what else has he done? And he's got these girls brainwashed to where they will participate in the abuse. And the worst part is that, I don't know, there's there's so many worse parts of it. My thought is afterwards, if she was saying it hurts, it hurts, I could actually have seen this guy saying, well, here, let me check it and see if there's a, you know, anything.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's almost like the mindset would be, I'm the coach. They think of him as the coach, the doctor, the whoever, the person in charge. If she's in pain, I could see him like, well, you're checking a sprained ankle. Well, here, let's go in my office. Let me check.
Yeah.
Scary. Yeah. Scary.
I didn't notice any color distinction. The color was the last thing I was noticing. I was noticing a grown man forcing a 13-year-old girl down on the ground and bending her body in a way she couldn't bend.
For myself, that was the thing, too, is it's like I did not notice that first. It was when he picked her up, when I went to rewatch it, and then I saw how he picked her up and kind of tossed her to the side. And in that moment, then there was something in the feed that I had read that mentioned the girls holding him down, holding her down.
Oh. All right, there's
in the Facebook feed, and it just said, and other girls were holding her down. And that's when I went back and rewatched it, and I happened to notice. I mean, it's like, you know, oh yeah, colorblind, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I don't know what the makeup of the entire group was. But when I saw that about girls holding her down, and I was like, I saw him pick her up and kind of toss her aside, and then realized he had girls holding her down. And yes, they happen to be African-American. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what kind of mind control he uses on the girls in that whole group that they would not be able to say, wait a minute, this could happen to us. Well, maybe it has.
And there's, Joy, there's new video that surfaced. It's at NewYorkPost.com, and you can see it. And there are African-American girls that are being held down as well. So it's like, and it looks like the white girl who was being held down was part of the holding down of other girls. You'll have to watch the videos. But
that's what I was wondering, not judging the young girls that were helping. I didn't see from the video I saw the makeup of the whole group, but just that idea that, regardless, it's like he has girls holding each other down, and it made me think, you know, what else has he done? Maybe he checks them, you know, and stuff after the injuries. It was horrifying. So again, not blaming the fact that those 3 girls, it was just going, what is he doing to manipulate the groups of people to where they feel comfortable doing this to each other?
Yeah, because I would say, I'm not holding her down.
Right.
She's obviously in pain. Yeah. Coach, let loose, you know?
Exactly.
And they said that this guy, they've just found out, again, NewYorkPost.com has this article, new videos emerge of girls in agony as they are forced into painful splits. He had been fired from a job last year and passed over for another job because of concerns about his over-the-top practices. So more and more footage is coming forth.
Incredible.
And as you said, I didn't see any other video. Like you said, she may have participated. As you said, she obviously was holding somebody else down in another situation, maybe before that happened to her. This was the only video I saw. So it just made me think, what does he have on them that he's also doing to them that they would all participate
right.
in this
yeah.
way? So.
It's terrible.
You take care. Have a great day, guys.
Have a good weekend, Joy. Thank you.
All right, let's take a quick break and then more of your thoughts on this. This high school cheerleading coach who uses awful, awful tactics to bend girls into shapes and positions they don't want to be bent into. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Maybe you saw the video last night on the news. Very, very disturbing as a Denver high school coach, a high school cheerleading coach, is bending girls, freshmen and sophomore girls, into impossible shapes. The girls want no part of this. He doesn't stop, though. He continues. And I was able to find out who this Boasberg guy is who's quoted in the story. He's the superintendent of Denver Public Schools. He's the one who said, and I quote, we absolutely prohibit any practices that place our students' physical and mental health in jeopardy. Although you clearly see it on the videotape, they're suspending a number of people from this school, coaches and other personnel, principal and assistant principal as well. Here's just a little bit of the audio. We won't play the whole thing. It's very disturbing, but just a little bit of it.
Stop me.
Yeah, that's it. Please stop, please stop, please stop. And they're not stopping. They just keep bending her.
How can you, as a teacher, continue to do that when you are the one inflicting pain on that student?
It's impossible to imagine. I don't know.
I can't even believe it. Rhonda, how are you?
Hi. They put all this pressure on the teachers to be number one in the state, or they're going to lose their job. I've seen it in soccer. I see it in Palms. I see it in the cheerleading. It goes on every place. Don't kid yourself about that. And the last lady with the racism thing, that was just ridiculous. I wish everyone would just throw the race out of all this nonsense. I wouldn't care if he was white. He still would have done it if he thought he could get away with it. He just got caught.
Yeah, I didn't notice the color of the students or anybody involved.
And the other video has other people doing it.
Yeah.
So.
But don't
I have seen cheerleaders dropped and the parents weren't notified.
Well, that's unacceptable and something should be done. And I know you're saying that these coaches are put under tremendous pressure to win, but that's no excuse. That's
absolutely
no excuse.
It's not an excuse. No, it's not. But everybody wants to be number one in the United States anymore, and it's just ridiculous.
I'm okay being number two or three.
And they don't even have to place as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Why can't the kids just have fun?
Right.
Amen, Rhonda.
Agreed. Thanks,
Thank
Rhonda.
You.
Appreciate it.
Esther's on the line as well. Hi, Esther.
Hi, how you doing? It's me again.
Welcome
Esther,
back.
What do you make of this? This is pretty bad, huh?
Crazy. I am an ex-physical education teacher, and I was in charge of cheerleaders. And those muscles that she uses, that they have to be used for that, it's ridiculous. They need time to build up if they want to.
Sure.
You don't do that. Those inner muscles are really tight. And he needs to be thrown out of the field, period.
He really does.
I have done that to any girl or anybody in my class.
It's true. You have to stretch and go down little by little. You can't just push someone into the splits. You
no.
can't.
You don't do that. Because those muscles are really very tight because you don't use them that way all the time. And he should not have been allowed to do that. And he needs to be gone, period.
Ron, I don't know if you heard earlier, we said that he went to the school and told them his background was he was an Olympic gymnast, Wendy. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
So it turns out, surprise, he was not. Doesn't a school owe it to themselves to check a little bit? Isn't there some sort of screening process when they're hiring somebody and they say, yeah, my background is I was an Olympian, and he clearly wasn't.
No, they should check on everything. When I got my license to teach and whatnot, they checked my background, where I'd gone to school, and my major. And I had to be on top of my game. And it's just certain things you don't do to your body at a certain level. And he did the wrong thing. And, Wendy, I want to say one other thing to you. Last week when you said, when Bannon left, you said the wheels are coming off. My husband and I fell out laughing.
Yeah.
I love you.
Well, thank you for listening, Esther. We truly appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And finally, George, something else in the news that George wanted to share with us.
Yeah, I saw last night they said that he used to be a Jesse White tumbler. So they interviewed Jesse White, and they showed him watching the video. And he said that there's no way that he would train anyone to do anything like that. He was pretty appalled himself.
And he said, he, his quote was, Jesse White said, "I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. His gymnastics program emphasizes character and education. It's been around for 60 years. It's graduated about 17,000 tumblers. He has had a few blemishes, but he spoke with CBS's Dorothy Tucker last night."
So this guy was legitimately a Jesse White tumbler.
Yes, he was.
He lied about being an Olympian, but he was a Jesse White tumbler.
Yes, he was.
How about that?
George, thanks for sharing that.
Thanks, George.
No problem. Take care.
And that's not Jesse White's fault.
No. If you graduate 17,000 people, there's going to be a couple that aren't up to snuff. But
I hope something is done with this guy.
Without a doubt.
And for schools, I mean, hearing the listener say, you know, there is a lot of pressure to be number one and do and look the other way for things.
Yeah.
That can't continue.
No, I know. All right. So here's what's going to happen now. Wendy and I will head over toward the stream. If you want to join us there, we would love to have you. The bonus hour takes place there. You can go to WGNradio.com and find us very easily. Or you can stay here and listen to Steve Bertrand. He's got the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.